inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we talk about potato scab or scabby potatoes. And Master Gardener Ed Byarski comes into the studio and he brings some potatoes with him. One of them is kind of a large, almost the size of an orange. It's kind of a rose-colored potato. He says it's of the Caribe variety. And another smaller one, kind of like a fingerling potato, it's deep purple. He says it's Magic Molly. And both have evidence of little scabs on them. He gives us some hints as far as how to prevent this sort of thing in the future.
If you don't bring scab in, if you don't bring in contaminated soil, if you don't bring dirty tools, or, you know, if you walk through somebody else's garden who has scab in their soil, potentially you could bring scab because it's a fungus organism. So it can be in the mud, in the dirt, on tools, on clothes, you know, on your boots, I suppose, potentially. So, or if somebody gives you potatoes and you say, oh, well, I'll just plant, I still got a few of these left in the spring and they're sprouting, so I'll plant them. And maybe they were infested with scab. And sometimes it's fairly severe, sometimes it's fairly minor, just one or two little pustules on them. And then shazam, you have it. And unfortunately, there's no noxious chemicals you can use to, I suppose you could maybe sterilize your soil, which is fairly impractical.
The only option is to pick those potatoes and then just peel them off then, right?
Yes, right. They're not harmful to us. You just peel them. You're going to lose some potato, of course. The unfortunate thing is when we go to store them, because they've got these breaks in the skin, they will dry out more easily and quickly and won't store very well or very long.
So you got to eat them fast.
Yes, exactly. So again, you high grade through your potatoes and choose the, for storage, we want to take, and that's why we want to, if we wash the potatoes once we dig them out, then we can see if we've got this on them. I was disappointed in a variety I thought was scab resistant that turns out not to be when I saw them a couple days ago, and then we sort. Yep, these we eat first. These we can store for hopefully a few months or longer, depending on the conditions that you have.
Is this the reason why you keep telling me year after year not to plant potatoes in the same patch every year?
Yes. So again, that's this and other. There's other diseases too. Aphids can bring in diseases. I saw when we were up in Haines, and again, I was kind of careful about cleaning my boots and stuff. You may have heard of the Irish potato famine, which was caused by a blight. There's an early blight and late blight. Those, again, are, some of those are, I think, bacterial. But again, and part of considering the conditions we have had this summer with high moisture levels all the time, can increase the chances for scab infestation, as well as the blight problems, which can again be transferred and then can be stored. Blight is even worse because it'll actually make potatoes rot in storage. So again, yes, moving your potatoes around, clean soil, good drainage, the sunshine would help, although we can't influence that a whole lot.
Yeah.
But again, everything we can do to keep things clean in our general gardens, because we're rotating crops from cabbages, potatoes, carrots, garlic, whatever it happens to be. Again, you want to rotate your crops because usually one crop isn't susceptible to the same pests and diseases as others. And again, aphids, which we have plenty of, aphids can transfer some of the leaf diseases from different potato patches also. So again, they can fly in on the breeze, and we don't have some other like potato beetles and other things they have down south, luckily.
Well, what if you don't have a big yard? Can I go back to the same potato patch and plant seed potatoes in that area 2 years from now?
2 or 3 years is a good rotation to aim for. If we can go for 3 years, that's better. So basically, we're trying to break this cycle of disease infestation. During this process also, you want to be careful not bringing in, before a potato crop, fresh or not very well rotted manure. And high organic matter, which a lot of us have if we're growing in muskeg or, you know, that kind of thing, can also stimulate scab organisms to reproduce along with the cool, wet temperatures. So the other alternative is there are some, not a lot, of scab-resistant varieties. I've got one good one. I thought I had two, but I'm down to one again. Magic Myrna, which is a terrific potato, gets no scab. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm planting them in places where there has been scab before. A lot of the russet potatoes. Gold Rush is a good russet potato. Scab resistant. Very nice. As russets go, it's one of the better ones. So that's your other alternative, or keep your paring knife handy and be prepared to peel potatoes.
And so now is the time to be picking our potatoes, or at least plucking them out of the soil?
Some of them are. I've got three boxes. One of them has been harvested, and the one row was completely, the plants had died back. And so I dug those. The other row still had some green stuff on them. I pulled those out also because I'm getting ready for garlic planting. If your potatoes are still very nice and the plants are still nice and green and lush, leave them there. Couple things you can do. You can even just throw a tarp over them, even leaves and all, or you can cut those plants off, then throw a tarp over. So what we're aiming for is toughening up the skins, curing the skins actually in the soil. So if you cut the tops off, cover them over for a week or two, the skins are toughening up before you dig them. So you aren't going to damage the skins as much when you dig.
And don't be using shovels and that sort of thing. Use your hands carefully.
If your soil is loose enough, that's great.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, nothing like usually you will spear the largest, nicest potato, of course, in your patch. So that's going to be dinner for tonight.
Yeah.
And then after we dig them and rinse the dirt off them and do some sorting, then take them into a dry place where we can cure the skins some more. We want to dry those skins out to toughen them up for storage so they don't lose moisture through the skins. And then from there, I'm starting to get these big paper bags that the potatoes go into that I've sorted out to save, and then those go into boxes, which then go into my root cellar. So if you've got a cool corner of a garage that doesn't freeze, some folks use their crawl space that, again, doesn't freeze. You put boxes or whatever you have on top of, say, on top of a pallet. Make sure there's air circulation.
Okay.
Air circulation. Cool temperatures, 35 to 40 degrees is ideal for long-term storage.
And if you don't have air circulation, then things are going to get wet and they're not going to dry out.
And then you may get a rotten potato in there, which is very recognizable because it is one of the nastiest smells around. And like they say, one bad apple, potato, can spoil the bunch. So yeah, you want to carefully sort your potatoes so that you don't get the wounded ones and stuff that are the more likely to get the rot to get started.
And how long will they store?
Well, I still have by usually late May, April and May, I pull my potatoes out of the root cellar. I'll sort out those for eating. I may snap sprouts off. They'll go into plastic bags into my garage fridge. I still have some potatoes in that fridge from last year, which are completely edible. So they can store. If you've got cool storage, normally, depending on variety again, early ones don't store as long, but March is fairly typical if you've got 40 degree or less temperatures to store them in.
Well, we're kind of beyond the time for our radio version of this segment, but for our podcast, what about setting aside some of those for planting again next year? Is there a way we can do that?
Yes. Certainly, again, once you wash your potatoes, I like to choose, you want to choose nice, clean potatoes that don't show any scab. And again, if you're fairly confident you don't have it in your soil, you can choose, I like to choose ping pong ball size, up to, say, egg size potatoes to store. Larger ones, if that's what you have, that are clean, that would be cut. But those smaller ones then would be planted whole. So set those aside. Again, they go into paper bags, into the boxes. They'll be labeled separately. And again, in the refrigerator, because you usually don't have or need that many. Well, depending on how big a patch you want to plant. But yeah, those are the ones then to set aside. And again, it's worth checking those during the winter. Again, just open up the bag, give them the sniff test that you don't smell a rotten potato in there. But they can be kept and regrown, again, as long as you have nice, clean looking potatoes.
So the sticking them in the refrigerator, that will slow down the sprouting process.
It slows down the metabolism. They're alive.
Yeah.
These potatoes are alive. So we're slowing down metabolism. Potatoes are starchy, but the colder they are stored, some of that starch changes to sugar. So you may notice that when you pull out cold potatoes, if you don't let them warm up, even for like a couple of days, that they are sweeter from cold storage than when you first dug them, which is kind of interesting. And then again, next spring, when we'll talk about getting your potatoes ready for planting, you pull your potatoes out, warm them up, and then that starts to stimulate the sprouting that we want before we plant them.
What if some of those potatoes, despite your best efforts to you know, kind of protect them and put them in a cool, dry, dark place and in the bags and in the boxes, they're still sprouting like crazy? Is all lost there, or can you work from those?
Well, that's common enough. Again, depending on varieties, some potatoes sprout much earlier than others do. And again, if you can go, there's charts that have early, mid, and late season potatoes. Usually the late season potatoes store better. In other words, don't sprout so quickly. You can remove sprouts. I mean, you can just snap the sprouts off, particularly if you're going to be eating them. But new sprout, there are lots of little potential buds to become sprouts on every potato.
Oh. It's not just an eye.
Right. Well, even one eye has more than one potential sprout there. So even so, if these are sprouting in February, which is way too early, and you snap the sprouts off them, then there will be new sprouts will come along. You are losing some energy from the potato. The potato is using energy to grow sprouts, just like bulbs will start to sprout after they get a certain amount of cold temperatures. They will start to sprout their new sprouts. So, but we can slow that process down or just, again, make them last longer. Again, it takes a while. It'll take, you know, some more weeks or a month or more before the next batch of sprouts will come out from those potatoes.
One more question. What about those potatoes that did dry up and I didn't plant them or I didn't use them quick enough and they sprouted or they may have scab on them? Can I put any of those batches into my compost?
I wouldn't recommend it. Better to send those off to the dump, you know, or burn them if you can, but into the garbage.
The scabby ones?
The scabby ones, yes. But I mean, if they're that late, you know, if you're if we're into June, I mean, I'll plant occasionally into June some. But after that, it's really too late. So if they're past the point of being able to salvage for eating, then, yeah, garbage for those. But don't put them in your compost, definitely if they've got scab on them. But even I don't, any of my potatoes, good or bad, store-bought, I don't buy potatoes, but other than for planting. But potato peelings do not go into the compost. They go into the trash. Potato tops will go onto my burn pile. So again, I try to pull the potato tops and roots that I pull up, and they'll go onto the burn pile, or for other folks who don't have that luxury, again, off to the dump for those, so that we aren't propagating disease in our compost, which is going to go back on our garden again.
And then you're just going to repeat the cycle
exactly.
Over.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're just reinfesting. It's kind of like, you know, blowing your nose and then, yeah, never mind.
On that note, I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks a lot, Ed.
You're welcome, Matt.
Because the time is close at hand. Grain for grain, sun and rain.
Garden Talk is a weekly feature on KTOO during the spring, summer, and early fall. And you can listen to our podcast. You can also submit your own question. If you have something related to your yard or garden, just go to our website, ktoo.org/gardentalk, and you can also submit your question there.
Plant your rows straight and long, temper them with prayer and song. Mother Earth.